Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode here, a very rare Thursday night, 10 p.m. edition of Cut the Promo Podcast Primetime. It's a very rare show that we're going to do. Basically, when we have interviews that we need to do and they be rescheduled, basically, from there, we kind of create a rare Thursday show once in a while. So it's interesting to have that to the lineup here. Obviously, we're still on every Sunday at 10 p.m. Central. And for the time being, we're going to be on Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. Central. However, that might change within the next month within an announcement in regards to that. However, for today, it's a really exciting show because we have somebody that I interviewed 6 years ago, back in the day, back when I graduated high school, actually. Right after I finished high school, I did an interview with Kenny Bolin. So he had a lot on his mind. He had a lot to say. Ended up being a really solid, good interview. And I'm looking forward to another great one here tonight on Cut the Promo Wrestling Podcast. A few big thank yous I want to give out to is the exposure on the Sabu interview was incredible. We got a great reach. We worked with a great data. So it's one of those things where the sky's the limit. And that's kind of why we're getting names similar. And we are having that consistency of those names because the goal of Cut the Promo Podcast is to continue to reach the press, but not just reach the press, you know, kind of stay there. You know, because when I began wrestling journalism, I was like 14, 15 years old. And I remember, like, I would just do these email interviews and post them on Facebook. And it's kind of cool now how we step a mile ahead and bigger things are happening by the day. So it's really interesting to have. I believe this is our guest calling in here, Kenny Bolin. So let's bring him on the line here. Area code 270. Is this the Star Maker?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that was the Star Maker. That was just another fan calling in. Guys, they did not call in until after the interview. We want to make sure that interview is good to go and complete. And obviously, you guys can call in beforehand and you can express your opinion. But, you know, it kind of throws me off. Just this one episode. Okay, work with me here. Because I wasn't giving an area code where to call from, and I don't know where Louisville, I don't know what that area code is, so I could look it up, but yeah, bear with me here, I'm just bugging you guys can call in all you want, shoot your opinion, it's really encouraged either way. You know what, while we wait for Bull, I believe, while we wait for him, let's bring him on here, let's bring on a caller, because I felt bad. I was a little out of line. Let's bring them on the line. You could do whatever you want. So let's bring them on here. Uncensored show. All right. Area code 270. I think I lost you there, but I believe you're back on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hey. I'm good.
You're breaking up, buddy. You're breaking up, buddy. All right. We don't like dead air here on the radio, so... I'm going to give you the last chance of your opportunity here to ask your question that you need to ask. And if not, I will have to disconnect. What's up?
Wait.
All right. That was weird audio, nothing coming from there. And it seemed like he was like breathing on the phone. I love that, man. It's just funny how people like call in and they have so much comedy for me. It's great. I encourage it. I love it. You know, Icon gets mad each and every week because somebody calls in and they flush the toilet. And, like, you can't really, like, get mad at that because it's hilarious. Like, come to think of it, it's really honestly hilarious here. So we are still waiting for our guest, Kenny Bolin. And the keys to this interview, the topics that we're going to discuss in this interview include things like Jim Cornette and Vince Russo. You know, that's something that's going to be asked in this interview. We're going to be talking about how the Star Maker sent more men from OVW to the WWE than anybody else. We're also Brock Lesnar, his thoughts on Brock Lesnar, his book, his GoFundMe, his the infamous limo ride with Jim Cornette. John Cena, is Kenny Bolin the reason why John Cena got all that publicity in WWE? We're going to all find that out tonight. Once again here, Christian, he managed The Miz, and he's worked for Bolin's services. You're talking about a guy here who is in the ranks as one of the top wrestling managers in OVW, if not, well, obviously the best in OVW, but in developmental territory wrestling. I'm saying that this guy might be one of the best of all time. So, in terms of developmental wrestling, I'm referring to. So, that should be interesting as well. So, you guys are listening to Cut the Promo Wrestling Podcast here on blogtalkradio.com. Mm. We're awaiting our guest, actually. Kenny Bolin is trying to call in from Skype. So, bear with me here. Just bear with me here. I just got to get back to this message here and multitask. But just a moment there. Don't want dead air on the radio. But see, this is why I need a fucking co-host. Maybe we should get Icon on once in a while again. Who knows? His suspension is lifted, so he's more than happy to join anytime he likes. Okay, so now an update on the Kenny Bolin interview is there are some technical difficulties on his end here trying to call in. However, we're going to try to adjust that and get our technical team and get myself as well to try to figure this issue out. All right, that's not working. All right. I'm going to get him. We're going to do something better here. We're going to do something better. We'll make things a little bit easier. Just hang on, guys. We're getting on a hold of Kenny Bolin right now. Hello. Hey there. Sorry about that, man. I guess I don't know why the audio source is working here, but we still...
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to call in from Skype, but it wouldn't go through. Can we do it this way?
Absolutely, we may. That's why I called you here on Facebook Live. We're not on Facebook Live, actually. We're just doing the live show here on blogtalkradio.com/cutthepromo. So, thanks
now,
for...
Do they get the video as well, or just me and you?
No, there's no live stream because I'm doing the Facebook call. So,
okay.
You just...
What I mean was, you and I can see each other.
Oh, yeah.
No,
it's basically a podcast source. I'm using this, and then I have an audio editor who's going to adjust the audio and make it beautiful.
Is my audio loud enough on your end?
Yeah, you sound pretty good. I think you sound okay.
I like to go through my mixer and all that shit, so that's why I was trying to call you on Skype. But and it costs a little bit. It costs about $2 an hour, if that much.
Yeah.
But this way here, it's free, so even better.
Absolutely, and we do have a good 20 minutes as well. I'm actually ordering some podcast equipment myself, so...
Are we on the air yet?
We're on the air now, actually.
We're on the air, and you mean you've got the gall. I know you're from Canada and all, and I know you guys are a little gutsy, but you've got the gall, the audacity to tell me, the king of podcasting, the king of managers, that I've got 20 minutes. Come on.
Well, we'll make it 35. We'll make it 35.
All right.
That's better.
It'll take me 20 minutes just to bitch about what's going on in the news today.
Oh, I have a lot of questions that you're going to bitch about.
You know how miserable we are here in America. You already know that already.
Well, coming from Winnipeg, definitely the things that I've heard and seen as of late in the media,
yeah.
Very much so. Sometimes it seems like a cluster.
Now, the people at home don't realize this, but me and Stone Cold Steve Austin, when we do podcasts together, we do video as well, but it is best for us to see each other so we can respond to each other's Facebook. Yeah, so put a goddamn, what's the language like on a show before I start going?
You can swear all you want. You can shoot.
I figured I could. Well, let's do the show the way me and Steve Austin do it. And that way, when I'm looking at you, I will know whether he pissed at you or not over the stupid question you might ask me.
Well, I'm a guy.
You've got good questions. You claim you're going to ask me stuff I've never been asked before. You claim that this is going to be a great interview.
I claimed it would reach the press, and it will reach the press.
You've written me about 30 days in a row begging the King of America to come on to this Canadian podcast, and I finally agreed to do so. So here I am. So let's hear how great this podcast is going to be. I guarantee you, what's the biggest star you've ever had on this show?
Well, last week we had Sabu on, believe it or not.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. I don't know if he's Kenny Starbaker Bowling. I don't know who he's ever managed in the business. I don't know that he ever created 54 wrestlers and sent them to the WWE, but that's not bad.
And then 2 weeks ago, Al Snow, 2 weeks ago.
Al Snow. Come on.
That's,
I taught Al Snow everything he knows. He realized that once I put OVW on the map, he's down there now trying to draw a crowd. He's down there trying to draw a crowd today. I think he's got the Rock and Roll Express there. He's got Kevin Nash. He's bringing in all these people trying to draw a crowd. I didn't need all those people to draw a crowd when I was at OVW. I just showed up. And guess what? A crowd followed.
And elaborating on that.
He's struggling down there. You imagine what the payroll is going to be for that show. Do you think Kevin Nash just shows up in Louisville, Kentucky to show up at OVW free of charge? I don't think so. I don't think Kevin Nash likes Al Snow that well. I think Kevin's in it for the payday. I think the Rock and Roll Express are in it for the payday. And here I am just sitting a few blocks away from OVW, but I won't go back because I said when I left, I'll never be back. And I told him that almost 8 years ago.
But you did.
Matter of fact, I left. God damn. What is this? 29? I left 7 years ago, almost to the day. I left in September of 2012. So almost 7 years ago to the day I left OVW.
But your run in OVW was nothing short of impressive. You actually sent more men from OVW to WWE than anybody else. So kind of
single-handedly. I mean, they had another manager. Excuse me.
No, no worries.
Crying out loud. Trying to do a podcast in here. Quit being rude. My dogs are going nuts, man. They bark at everything outside the window. They protect me. That's why they're here. That's why they get paid. Well, they don't get paid. They get fed. But that's why they're here.
And then we have a fan sent question. We're gonna skip.
Whoa, we're
gonna skip
fan
that
one. Questions. We got those tonight.
Well, we got an inappropriate one, but we'll ask it.
Well, go ahead. I don't care. They can't ask me anything I can't handle.
Craig asks, who had the biggest boner?
Who had the biggest boner? Him when he met me in person.
That was a good one. But in all retrospect here, you sent more people to WWE from OVW. So,
I hate it when the fans get boners when they meet me. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, you know, that's probably a rare issue.
That's more on him than it is me. If he's sexually attracted to me, what was his name again?
His name's Craig. Fan-send question. So
yeah,
there you go.
Craig,
you can
Craig
work with
short,
that if you want.
Craig is short for Christina, I'm sure, but that's all right. That's on him. If he's sexually attracted to me, that's all right.
Hey, you know, honestly, fans can say whatever they want. I'll ask anything because it's because of the people.
You can't ask me anything I can't handle. I don't give a shit with these idiots. Obviously, the first person to call in tonight or write in, Canadian, is he Canadian? Do you know where the idiot's from?
Yeah, he's actually right here in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
He's probably lurking in the studio trying to see how big a boner he can get looking at you. Be my guess.
Well, he wants to call in and ask a question live, so we might get to that.
Well, I'll say no.
But you said you'd answer any question you want.
He's had his 15 seconds of fame. We'll let a decent person call in.
Sure enough.
Not some sexual predator out there who has a thing for me. We're not going to do that.
So, Jim Cornette, and like the whole issue here with Cornette against Russo.
Speaking of sexual predators, what about Jimmy?
Jimmy Cornette and Vince Russo. Now, because of that issue here, there's a little bit of an ending of a 41-year friendship on that topic. What kind of went down? And friendship just doesn't end like that.
Well, it did, actually. That's exactly how it went down. Now, Jimmy and I had been friends, actually 43 years.
Okay.
And, maybe 41 years before it officially ended.
Yeah.
And the God's honest truth is that Brian Last recruited me to come on his little 605 podcast. We had talked about it. He was excited about having me. I thought it would be a good mix, being as I was already doing Cornette shows anyway. And I never really particularly liked Brian. Jimmy knew that. But Brian's one of these people that wants to take credit for everybody's work. He's bad-mouthed everybody in the business. And all the people he bad-mouths have actually done something. They've actually accomplished shit in the business, like the Bobby Heenans, the Lance Russells, the Jake the Snake Roberts, the countless people that this buffoon sits there on his little podcast and badmouths. Now, have I ever listened to a 605 podcast? No. I don't even listen to the ones that I'm on. I did a few for him. I even did one for my hospital bed for him. I did shows for Cornette for my hospital bed. By the way, what the fuck's up with you? I've lost 219 pounds over the last year and a half, and you don't even point it out. You don't tell the fans how good I'm looking right now. You don't point out that I've lost 148 pounds over the last 121 days.
That is impressive. I was actually going to get to that.
As long as he's going to get to
that. I was going to get to that. I got my list.
Yeah, just make sure to make a note of that. You don't want to miss out on that. You got to tell the people how gorgeous I look. You don't have to tell that Craig guy who gets a boner looking at me. He knows. He knows how gorgeous I am. But, so Cornette, we did two shows with Brian last. We ate him alive on both of them because my Christopher and Maya, Chris has been doing podcasts with me for 15 of the 16 years I've been doing them. And Maya, and both of these kids are in law school and have 3 to 4 years of law school under their belt. And they worked in law offices for 3 to 4 years. So they were pretty much experts in EPOs and protective orders and all that. So we did a whole show talking about the importance of an EPO. Because we all three conglomerately encouraged Russo to take out an EPO on Cornette because Cornette had convinced me he was going to try to kill him. Everybody knows that Jimmy, let's face it, he's got mental issues. He's had them since he was a kid. I loved him to death, and I don't hate him now. I don't hate Jimmy. I feel sorry for him because he's alienated almost every single friend he's got, including his best friend. People that he's been friends with in the business for years and years, he gets into beefs with them over Twitter and Facebook, or well, not Facebook, as that's his wife's job. But he just can't seem to get along with people, no matter who they are. And I've had my run of problems with podcast hosts who think they're a bigger deal than what the star is and don't know their place, and I've had to get rid of quite a few podcast hosts. So I finally determined the problem must be me. I can't get along with podcast hosts, so I don't have podcast hosts anymore. I do my own shows on Facebook Live. They do pretty good for a fat boy from Louisville, Kentucky, who never leaves town, who's been out of the business for 7 years now. And they do well. I mean, poor hell, my old buddy Mark Henry posted a video the other day. He got 58 views. I was amazed. Mark Henry's a pretty damn famous guy, so I'm proud of the numbers that I put up. So, but yeah, Brian did a show, and we spent an hour explaining to the fans the importance of filing an EPO if you feel threatened. Lay the paperwork, because that way if you have to defend yourself, you don't go to jail. The paperwork has been laid, and if some ignorant cocksucker out there wants to try and come and kill you, you have the right to defend yourself. Well, Brian last, after we spent over an hour telling the fans the importance of this, Brian, well, I think anybody who files an EPO is a pussy. I said, really? I said, you're just going to shit on the expertise commentary out of my two kids here. And because Russo filed a EPO on your mentally deranged buddy, who used to be my buddy, you got a problem about. I said, well, thanks for shitting on all the information that we just put out for the fans. But no, Brian, it is you that is the pussy, and let me explain to you why. I said, and I was in pretty bad health back then. I said, now, do you really think that if you knew I was going to show up in New Jersey, where you really live, not where you tell everybody you live in New York, we know where you really live. We've done some research on you. We know what your degree is in, and it's a degree for unemployment, and that's why you live at home in a basement with your wife, and she supports you, and you try to tell everybody you make all this money. I said, we'd like to point out the fact that we know the address you live in New Jersey. So let's say you pissed me and Chris off. And we tell you, Brian, we're going to come by your house this coming Wednesday. We know exactly where you live. We're going to knock on your door, and we really expect you to open that door. And if you don't, then we're going to let ourselves in. and we're going to have a little talk with you about your rudeness and your smart mouth. Now, what are you going to do, Brian? Are you going to be a little tough guy? Are you going to open your door in New Jersey, and are you going to let me and the prince in? Or are you going to call the police? Are you going to file an EPO? Are you going to do everything you can to make sure that Kenny Starmaker Bolin and the prince don't show up at your door and beat the dog fuck out of you, or possibly even kill you? Because that's what Jimmy Cornette is threatening. He is threatening to go to Evansville, Indiana, and shoot my one of my dear friends. I can't say my best friend, but one of my dear friends. I said, well, me and Russo have been friends for over 5 years now. I've known him for about 20 years. And he's always been good to me. So I don't have any problem with Vince Russo. He's been nothing but good to me. Jimmy, for the last 5 years, he's going to shit on you. He's just using you. He wants your podcast followers. I can't believe this shit. I can't believe you're making me look bad, man. Well, if I'm going to get pissed at everybody that Jimmy Cornette is hot at, then I'm going to be pissed at everybody in the world. So I have to pick my own friends. I have to determine for me who's good and who's bad. And Russo has always been good to me. I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks about him. He's been good to me. And he hasn't committed any felonies. He hasn't committed any crimes. He's not a sexual predator. He hasn't killed anybody that anybody knows of. So I don't have a problem with him. But there were people on Vince Russo's podcast that have beaten up women that may or may not be sexual predators that have fucking problems. So I quit doing Russo's show. But before I could even do that, because I didn't want to be associated with a couple of the goons that run the goddamn show. So, Jimmy lost his goddamn mind that me and Russo were still doing shows. I just started doing shows with Russo alone, and I quit doing the group shows. So 4 times me and Jimmy tried to fix things up. 4 times he bailed on me every time. He even bailed on me when my mother died, which I did not do to him. I was even a pallbearer at his mother's funeral, and he invited a piece of shit there. I won't mention his name because he gets a boner every time I mention his name, but everybody knows who he is. And that piece of shit was going to be there, and I told Jimmy I wasn't coming to the funeral. So Jimmy cried and begged me to come to the funeral. Please, put your differences aside. For me, for my mother. You loved my mom. My mom loved you. I said, you're right. You're right. I'll be the bigger man. I'll be an adult. I'll come. But once this shit's over, you got to get rid of this piece of shit. Well, he never did. Me and Danny Davis had the firing. Once Jimmy got fired from OVW and WWE, not the WWE, Danny and I had to do it. Well, Danny officially did it because it was his company, but Danny and I did not want him within 1,000 yards of the goddamn place. So Jimmy can invite my enemies to help write his book, hang out with him, go party with him. Him and his wife. But you let me do a podcast with a guy who's paying me way more money than Jimmy Cornette ever fucking paid me, then I'm the fucking bad guy. Well, if that makes me the bad guy, I'll be the bad guy. So the 4 times I tried to patch things up with Jimmy, 4 times it didn't pan out. I told him I didn't want shit to do with Brian last because he was a backstabbing little prick. He called Jimmy and tried to get Jimmy to kick my kids off the show. Like Jimmy had that much stroke. The kids were killing the ratings. What fucking ratings? We'd done 2 shows. We had done 2 shows. Any ratings he were getting were a bonus. He's already got his base. It's like Donald Trump. Trump already has X amount of people out there that are going to listen to him and follow him no matter what the fuck he does. He's already said he could kill somebody. He can obviously rape 24 women and no one cares about that. He can commit a Monuments Clause violations left and right. No one cares about that. He can commit bank fraud. No one cares about that. He can say racist shit. No one cares about that. So there are certain things that certain people can do, and they will not leave you. Jimmy Cornette is one of those people. When Jimmy Cornette was caught on some audio tape here recently, it was an old recording, but that don't excuse it. But he said the N-word like 18 times on this goddamn video. It's on YouTube, or it might still be. They might have took it down by now. But he was recorded saying the N-word approximately 16 to 18 times. And his fans made excuses for it. Well, it was a different time back then. It was the fucking mid-90s. Maybe the late 90s. No, it wasn't a different time. You still couldn't say the N-word then. It wasn't appropriate. It was still racist then. It was racist in the 70s. It was racist in the 60s. It was racist in the 50s, the 40s, and the goddamn 30s. Just because people are a different color than you don't make you better than them. Just because they come from a different country don't make you better than them. And for those that think they are, fuck you. I got no fucking time for you. I come from a very poor family. I come from a very interracially divided, there's interracial division, but every race you can imagine has been part of the Rising and Bowling family. So even though we still have a shitload of racists in our family that I don't speak to anymore, well, so-and-so married that N-word. Well, so-and-so married a Puerto Rican. Well, so-and-so married a Mexican. Who gives a fuck? As long as they're in love, as long as they're good people, as long as they're not criminals. You can't be like Donald Trump and assume that everybody that comes from Mexico is a fucking rapist or a M13 or whatever the fuck he calls these people. If you've noticed, everybody that ain't white, Donald Trump thinks a criminal. He wants everybody from Norway to come here, like Norway don't have any criminals. But all the people from Norway are welcome. So that's kind of what Jimmy is. Jimmy seems to think that the color of your skin and where you're from, whether you wear a towel on your head or not, all that shit matters. All that shit makes a difference. To me, I judge people by people. There's good people of all colors. There's bad people of all colors. Trust me, I've met them all. Or met all the races that have the bad people. But that don't make them all bad. And I just can't get over that he can't get over that. He liked Obama. And I know that for a fact. He was an actual fan of Obama. But he doesn't practice what Obama preached. He doesn't practice it at all. And it makes me sad for him. It really does. So, no, I have no desire to be his friend again. He hasn't even reached out since I had my weight loss surgery. He would, of course, shit on it because I actually had to have surgery to lose this much weight. Well, I did. I had to admit my problem. I couldn't. 100 pounds is about all I could lose off surgery, and then I gained about 70 of it back. So I had to do something to save my life, and now I've done that. Trust me, it takes courage to do it because they do everything they can to talk you out of it. You said we were going to talk about the weight.
No, absolutely. And that's what I was going to transition to.
I was up to 569 pounds at the worst point in my life about 2 years ago.
And you do look great. Like, you look in
well,
great.
I got a mirror. I know that. I know how good I look. I appreciate you pointing it out. But no, I look and I look better. I feel better and look much better doing things I haven't done in 15, 20 years. But Jimmy would shit all over that. If all he had to have the goddamn surgery, he didn't do it natural like I do. He didn't eat his vegetables and, you know, well, now I do eat a lot of vegetables. There's not a whole fucking lot I can eat, to be honest with you. My stomach is 1/5 the size it used to be, and a meal for me comes in a little bowl that I can't even describe. I mean, the bowl I eat of is barely any damn bigger than my wallet, and that's all you can eat in one meal. So I eat 4 to 5 small meals a day, and the weight is slowly coming off the way it's supposed to be. As of right now, after losing over 200 pounds, I don't have to have the skin graft. Everything is falling in place and doing right, and I'm doing exercises every day that I haven't done God knows when. So the weight loss thing's coming along pretty good, but no, I don't see me and Jimmy ever being able to fix this, because number one, he'll never admit he's wrong. He'll never admit he's a racist, but he says a lot of racist shit, and when the racists think you're racist, like they've said about Donald Trump, Jimmy has a problem. And he goes off on transgenders. Now, I'm not going to reveal the private things that go on in his own home, but Jimmy is the last person that ought to be talking about gays, transgenders, bisexuals. He should be the last fucking person to talk about shit like that. I don't know what I'm thinking of.
We still have time. Don't ignore that message, 90 seconds. We still have 20. We still have a good 16 minutes. Yeah, that I couldn't ask for a bigger, more detailed answer than that.
I've given that detailed answer before, but you said you were going to ask me some good questions I've never been asked before. I've been asked those questions, so let's hear what you got.
All right, now
I'm going to rub my hair pretty up while you do this. Just in case you turn the camera on, just in case you're trying to disconnect me, just in case you want to show everybody that the king wasn't looking good. Now, this is a 3X shirt, by the way. I've been wearing 6X shirts for about the last 15 years. And feels good to be in 3Xs again.
What was the whole issue with the limo ride with Cornette?
See, I've told that story 100 times. It was basically an attorney friend of mine at that time, who also I don't speak to anymore because he's a crook. A bad one. But he arranged for a limo for, goddamn, there's a fucking forest fire going on in your place. What the hell's going on?
I'm smoking some weed.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Did a goddamn smoke alarm go off? Or sprinklers going to start going off over there any minute?
No.
Hell, you're not vaping. Are you vaping?
No, that's just a weed vaporizer.
Weed vaporizer. that shit legal in Canada?
Oh, absolutely it is. That's how I do this.
I've never partook in a marijuana cigarette or even a real cigarette or a vape or any of that shit.
Never do
life.
It. It's the worst thing you could do. It's dumb.
Worst thing you can do. All right. Would you be offended if I said you look like a pothead? Would you be offended?
Everyone does call me that. All my coworkers know. Everyone.
You're not hiding anything, are you?
No, no.
You probably show up.
And I ref. I ref, too. I'm a referee. It's crazy. I know. But I'm like Dave Meltzer.
How can you give fair, unbiased judgment in a professional wrestling match stoned out of your goddamn mind?
But I'm not stoned during refereeing, of course.
Not
I
during
show.
Refereeing.
Not during. That's a no-no. Someone could get hurt.
Let me get this straight. You drive there stoned. You go to work stoned. You probably are a brain surgeon, and you do brain surgery stoned, but you won't referee a match stoned. I admire that.
Oh, I respect the business. That's all.
You respect the business. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You won't be the first referee that worked high on drugs. I'll tell you that right now.
Would you recommend it? Like,
I've never.
Some of the vets don't care. It depends who you talk to.
It depends who you talk
the
to.
The rookies seem to get more mad about it than the vets. The vets don't.
Oh, the rookies do. The know-it-alls.
Yeah.
The know-it-alls. Normally, when you say rookie, you can say backyarder and put it in the same category. Ain't done shit yet. They got all kinds of opinions and all kinds of shit they want to interject. Even when I was in the business, and I thought I knew it all, because I'd been trained by the best. I'd been trained by Jerry Jarrett, Jerry Lawler, Cornette, and I followed those. And I would like to say I taught Cornette everything he knows, but that would be an embarrassment if that's what he knows. So I won't take credit for that. But I did bring Jimmy out of his shell. Jimmy was a very quiet, shy boy that lived in an attic just about his whole life. And I think the first time he ever went out in public, it was with me. He wasn't much of a... As a matter of fact, I never dreamed he could ever make it in wrestling because he was so shy and so self-conscious. I'll be honest with you. I was going to be the success in wrestling. It wasn't going to be him because I didn't think he could do it. But he gradually got better as time went on, and he found an inner personality that's not really him. The real Jimmy, that none of y'all even know. And I don't even know that person anymore because that person went away probably in the 80s. But the real Jimmy was very compassionate, always wanted to help people. Anything we could do to help less fortunate, Jimmy was the first one there. And I don't notice him doing that anymore. He's made a shitload of money over the years, but it seems to go into his home and to his land. And he gives some to the Crusade for Children because his dad was a VP there. But other than that, I don't know too much charity that Jimmy gets to or just helping people that need help. Stranger knocks on my door and needs help. As long as they're not trying to rob me, fuck, I'll help them. And I help a lot of families in the Philippines. And guys, I made a tiny, tiny fraction of the money that Jim Cornette made. But the way I look at it is $50 will feed a family in the Philippines. And normally I know these people. You know, they've been fans of mine for years because we was on TV over there for quite some time. They would insert Kenny Bowen, John Cena matches on their SmackDown show, and they did that for like 3 or 4 years. I hear they weren't supposed to be doing it, but they did it anyway. If you need ratings, put Bowen and Cena on. It's bound to help a little bit. And apparently it did, because I got by with it for about 3 or 4 years. But no, I've got about maybe 250 friends in the Philippines that have contacted me over the years. About to marry one of them, and she contacted me over John Cena. She was impressed that I managed John Cena, wanted to talk to me about him, and as she got to know me,
Would you say you were responsible for John Cena's publicity in wrestling? Do you think or was it him?
John Cena and I got put on the map when I called Mark Cuban, who I felt had a wrestling personality. He was very anti-establishment. He rebelled against the NBA. He was always being fined, and he would double the fine and give it to charity. That's my kind of guy. We fine you $500,000. Fuck you. I'll pay $1 million and donate it to charity. Now, do you want the money or do you want me to give it to charity? Well, the NBA would look like dicks if they didn't do it. So Cuban just made large charitable donations all the time. And, of course, a good business sense because it's 100% tax write-off to do it that way. So he outsmarted everybody. He said, fuck you. You know, I'm a billionaire. Find me $500,000. Find me $1 million. Find me $2 million. I'll pay $4 million and donate it to charity. So he outsmarted everybody. So I really admired Cuban. And this was before he was real famous. The Dairy Queen thing hadn't happened yet.
I remember that.
So I wrote him a and everybody thought I was an idiot for doing so, because I was going to ask him to be a part of me and John Cena and help me promote him. Because, as a matter of fact, Vince did not like Cena. He's on My Life. Me, Danny Davis, and Cena are on the My Life DVD with Vince McMahon, and Vince saying that he didn't think Cena had what it took, wanted to get rid of him. He wanted to get rid of Cena and Rico Constantino. Now, we never told Cena because we thought he'd take his ball and go home because he was doing a little television, and we were concerned that he would lose confidence and just do TV shows and would give up on wrestling, and we knew he had what it took. And that was one thing that me, Danny Davis, and Cornette all agreed upon, is that John Cena was going to be a huge star. Vince didn't see it, and it had admitted so on the first ever DVD about Cena. So, yeah, we proved him wrong on that one, but what put him on the map is when we hooked up with Mark Cuban. Cuban sent a limo down to pick us up and have us brought to the Pacer game, and he told me he'd give us 15 minutes to do what we wanted. He says, yeah, man. He says, let me get my bullshit out of the way. He says, you guys got 15 minutes with me to do whatever you want. Well, 15 minutes with Mark Cuban we knew was going to be gold. But what we didn't know is that he just fell in love with us, did all kinds of research on us. He knew about OVW, knew about Dave Batista, and he had claimed on the video that I'd offered to bring him Batista, not Cena, which I knew he'd done his homework then. So he was playing along with us. He knew what to do. So I knew he was smart to what we were doing. And then Cena looks at me, wait a minute. You promised him Batista. No, I told him that we were going to beat Batista. And I wasn't going to. So they caught me off guard. But real people that are talented in the business know what to do when they're throwing a curve. And Cuban throws us a curve right off the bat. So he liked how we handled it and how I tried to talk my way out of it. And Cuban's going, yeah, you know what you told me. But I didn't tell him shit. I just told him we would come up there and have him promote Cena. So the word got to the WWE the next day. I was in big trouble. Because all the press that was there covering the Pacer game covered us as well. Wanted to know what we were doing there. Who's this guy? Who's this jacked up athlete you got? And we're walking around with these passes on, and we're walking on the court. We're shooting ball with the fucking Mavericks. And no one else was doing that. And I'm out there shooting with Hardaway and Nowitzki and all these guys, knocking down some threes, I might add. Even at my weight at that time. And so... we didn't get a chance to explain what we'd done. Cornette told me not to even do it. He said, that's a waste of time. Cuban ain't going to fucking even shake your hand, more or less, meeting. And I said, well, I think he will. He gave me his word. I said, he's sending me a limo. So when the limo showed up, I knew the shit was on. Cena did not believe we were actually meeting Cuban until, goddamn, that smoke got in my face. I'm going to start coughing here in a minute. Jesus Christ. Sprinklers going to be going off over there any minute. So, Cena did not believe that we were actually going to meet Cuban until we were escorted in the back door, took into the press room, we got the catering meal, and then were escorted to the press room after the press there to cover the game got done. Cuban was sitting there waiting on us. And, what do you guys want to do? So, but he ended up giving us about 2 hours and 15 minutes instead of 15 minutes. We shot all kinds of footage, and Cornette was responsible for editing. He could not believe we got this shit done. But the word got to Vince before I was able to speak to Cornette, Jim Ross, or Danny Davis about what we'd done. So as we closed, they said, what we're going to do is that we're going to buy out the WWE. I got four times as much money as Vince McMahon, maybe more. And what I'm going to do, Kenny, is I'm going to take my thumb and I'm going to crush that little Vince McMahon at Jimmy Cornette at Danny Davis. And I'm going to crush them like the paupers they are. I'm going to crush them like they're little bugs. And then we're going to move the WWE down here to Dallas, and we're going to put these shows in the United Airlines Arena, which I think was the arena for the Mavericks at that time. Well, we thought all this shit was great. We're going, fuck, Cuban is putting us over big time. Well, the word got to Vince, and Vince thought it was a shoot. Vince thought that Mark Cuban was going to try to do a hostile takeover of the WWE and that I was helping him. Jim Ross was furious because Jim got the shit because he was talent coordinator. Well, they didn't have any control over me. I didn't have an official contract with them. I got supplemental income for managing their bad guys and teaching them how to be bad guys. I wasn't under contract. I got supplemental income that Danny Davis arranged for me. And believe me, I made a lot more money selling advertising at OVW than what the WWE was paying me. And it worked out fantastic because now I got all this heat. Everybody thinks, but I said, well, you fucking marks. No, he's not going to take over the WWE. He don't give a fuck. He was playing along. He's helping me put Cena on the map. Mark Cuban is now the official backer of Kenny Bolin and John Cena. I'm now in the back pocket of a billionaire. I couldn't get in Vince McMahon's back pocket, so I got in Mark Cuban's. Take what I've given you and fucking run with it. Well, they were pissed for a few days. Couldn't believe I did it without permission. Fuck their goddamn permission. I work for OVW, not you. The only person I'm contracted to is OVW. And I'll do what the fuck I want to do. If y'all don't like it, tell Danny Davis to fire me, and we'll see what he does. Well, they tried that. Stephanie McMahon didn't like me. Triple H didn't like me. They didn't like me doing commentary, even though the ratings were always light years higher with me doing it, as opposed to the jackasses. They wanted to do it. And Danny said, no, I'm not going to do it. They said, Kenny's the face of this company, and I'm not going to fire him. The fans love him. They've loved to hate him. And he's been here for, at that time, I guess it was pushing about 13 years, and I ended up being there 17 years. But Danny refused to do it. But then he called me into the office. He said, now, Kenny, you know if they're going to pull their contract, I'm going to have to let you go. I said, I understand. And I said, I appreciate you sticking by me. And I said, you can't lose the company over me. And Dean Hill was just mad. I said, but at least stand up for us like you've done so far. Don't go down like a fucking pussy. Dean, hey, man, if you need to get rid of me, man, I'll go right now. I don't want to go. I said, no, fucking Dean, no. I mean, we're the fucking mainstays here. You know, we ain't going no fucking where. Danny's going to battle for us. Quit cowering down like a little fucking pussy. So, but yeah, Mark Cuban helped put us on the map. Obviously, I helped put Cena anymore. I didn't make the money these guys make, and I've had medical issues, and I do have a GoFundMe account that ain't raised dick.
I was going to ask about that, actually. It was going to be our next question.
Nobody really wants to help anybody with medical bills. Now, if I was going to create a bigger and better dildo for your friend that called in earlier so he could sit around and masturbate all day, I'd probably have $200,000 in there in about 15 minutes. But no, because I need medical help, because we don't have health insurance. Now, I'm on disability now, and I get a lot of my shit taken care of, but it still leaves a shitload of money to be taken care of. I mean, we raised about $5,000 here, several months ago, and I'm still about $7,500 short. So I thought I might have one rich friend or fan out there somewhere that would help, but
people are pricks.
What's that?
People are pricks.
People, well,
they watched you for 17 years. The very least they could do is even give you $20, $30.
But some have. But the bad thing is that of about 20,000 followers on all of social media, only about 200 or maybe 250 people donated. And a good chunk of that 5,000 was donated by two people. One person donated 1,500 and another guy donated 8.
Holy
so out
shit.
Of the 5,000, 2,300 of it came from two people. So, you know, I don't know. You can't, you know, I don't know what people's financial situations are. And I've been providing free entertainment for 30 years, and free podcasts for 16 years. I like to think that's worth a little something, you know, $5, $10 if you were entertained over the years. Well, some people see it that way, some don't. Some say I'm begging for money. I ain't begging. I mean, if you can help, help, and if you can't, you don't want to, you don't. To me, that is not begging, but I need some help with medical bills, and I'm not ashamed to ask for it. You know, I've been working for free for the fans for a long, long time. It's all my wrestlers that got rich and famous. I got a little bit of fame, but I sure as fuck didn't get rich. Especially being on a minimal disability check, all the savings that I had saved up has been spent on medical bills and paying the bills over the last 12 years. And had that shit not happened, I would be in real good shape right now, even though I never had a contract and never got rich. I saved my money very well, but over 12 years of all the shit I've been through, that money goes away in a hurry. Well, I won't say a hurry, but it went away in 12 years for damn sure. So, but, you know, if people can help, there's a GoFundMe account set up, and even the smallest donations are a big help, $5, $10, $20. And there's been some people that have donated to my PayPal account because I get every penny of that. So they'd rather not have the 3% deduction out of GoFundMe. They just donated to my Facebook page, or not Facebook page.
And that is good to know. We are almost done part one.
My PayPal is KennyBolin@MSN.com. For anybody that would like to make a smaller, reasonable donation. And don't hurt yourselves. If you're going to hurt yourselves, don't do it. But if you got it to spare and a few bucks will help me out, then I'd certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. So part one here of Kenny Bolin. Don't worry. Still stay on the phone with me, Mr. Bolin. We're going to be doing part two, which is going to be on.
If you say please.
Please, sir. Because this is going great so far, and I want to learn from the best.
I know who I am. I know it's a great show.
All right. So part two coming up here on
Cut. If I could just keep you sober for the second part of the show, we'll be doing something.